Hey everyone, it's Ryan here with Cardinal Aviation. Welcome to episode number 29 of the audio briefings. It's been a busy week this week. I was working the day job ATC Monday to Friday and pretty much flew every afternoon. On Thursday, we had a really interesting trip out to Camrose, Alberta, so across the Rockies and the Navajo, and that got me thinking about today's topic. So what it is, you know, we're in that time of year, the late spring, early summer, where you have nice cool mornings and daytime heating, and with daytime heating and moisture in the air as well, we get convective clouds, and that's, you know, TCUs, CBs, cumulonimbus, that kind of thing that usually it's nice in the morning, develop into some, you know, thunderstorm activity in the afternoon, and then into the evening as the sun's going down, we tend to see some of that dissipating action. So what I wanted to talk about today was weather flying, and as it pertains to, I don't want to say necessarily thunderstorms, but any sort of flying around convective activity. So your TCUs, your CBs, clouds of vertical development, that kind of thing. So with the airplane that we were flying on Thursday, it doesn't have weather radar. So I've talked about it here before. One of my personal strategies and minimums for that is to ensure that I can always cruise on top of the solid cloud deck or solidly between layers to always have an out. I want to see those clouds of vertical development and be able to avoid them, to avoid, you know, one, the aircraft debilitating updrafts and downdrafts that we've seen destroy aircraft before, but, you know, also just the turbulence, the icing, the hail, all that kind of stuff. It's no good for airplanes. So one of the strategies is to make sure that we're always visual with those clouds of vertical development, and they typically do stick up above the cloud deck where there is one, but they can form into what we call lines, and that's organized groups of convective clouds that can, you know, range in altitude with tops of anywhere from, you know, 16,000 feet all the way up to above 60,000 feet, flight level 600, and that's some serious business that you want to have no part in. So I want to talk to you about some strategies on flying in those conditions, medium performance GA airplanes, and some tips and tricks that you can use with air traffic control to keep it safe and to get to your destination in one piece. Doesn't necessarily have to ground you if you're smart and you have the tools. So where we're going to start is, we talked about time of day. I want to talk about deviations. So a couple weeks ago, I was doing a flight to Fort St. John, and there was a line of thunderstorms. And one of the people that was flying with me is a commercial multi-IFR pilot, but with not a lot of real-world experience. And there was some thunderstorms, or some clouds of vertical development, I should say, that I did not want to fly through. So I said, yeah, we're going to deviate. And he asked, well, how do we do that? So it's really quite simple. The way it works is, you know, you're not just going to adjust your heading if you're IFR to you know, go around whatever you want, however you want. The best way to do it is to radio air traffic control in something like, you know, Vancouver Center, it's Golf Juliet Bravo Bravo, and they'll come back and go ahead and you say, request deviations right of course for weather. And usually what they will come back with is deviations right of course are approved. Once you're clear of the weather, proceed direct, and they'll give you a fix further down on your flight plan route or whatever is going to work for them. So, best way to do it is to request the deviation, specify left or right, of course, and then if you want to, you know, put a cherry on top, tell them how far. So center, we'd like to deviate 20 degrees right of weather, right of track for weather, and it looks like we're going to need this for about 20 miles. If you got to pick your way around stuff and it's going to be left, right, again, just normal conversational English. Center, it's Juliet Bravo, Bravo. We're going to need deviations left and right, of course, for weather for the next 50 miles. And they should accommodate it. And if they can't, they may put a restriction on it, or you may have to find some sort of negotiated middle ground, if you will. One time I was flying with somebody, and we're climbing out of an airport in the States, and we're pointed right at this big vertical development cloud. I mean, it was probably a TCU. It wasn't quite a CB, but it was topped in the high teens. We're climbing out of an airport, and I was trying to be subtle, and I said, you know, so-and-so, are we going to go left or right of that that cell? And the question back to me was, oh, well, in the jet, would you deviate around it? And I mean, really what I would do is not important in this case. It's, we should do something given we're in a smaller airplane. But even in the jet, yeah, if I could deviate left or right and not penetrate a big cloud of vertical development, I'm going to do it because it's great for passenger comfort and also just overall safety of the flight. So we talked about how we should go about getting a deviation, and the request was put in, you know, center, we're requesting a deviation 15 degrees left for weather. And the controller actually in that case came back and said, unable due to opposite direction CRJ traffic. And so at that point, the person I was flying with just basically accepted that and continued trucking right towards this big vertical development cloud. And I said, well, no, go back and tell them you need it. And, you know, right, going right wasn't an option because there was more weather there. And he came back and said, you know, we're going to need that turn left for weather. And center came back and said, unable due to opposite direction traffic. Now, when this happens, you have to make a choice. And you've kind of been backed into a corner. And this is where you need to basically declare an emergency and tell them that you are going to turn. And that's precisely what I told this client to do. I said, say it's an emergency for weather that you will be turning 20 degrees right for weather, and you see how fast he moves that other airplane. And this was before my days as a controller, but and that's exactly what he did. It's so-and-so, we're declaring an emergency due weather. We are turning 20 degrees to the left to avoid. And we began the turn, and the very next thing out of the controller's mouth was moving that other airplane out of the way. So sometimes you do need to take command of your own destiny, if you will. Safety comes first. As the pilot in command, you are in charge of the safety of that aircraft. The controller is not on board with you. The controller isn't going to be riding through that TCU or that CB with you. So that's why they call it pilot in command. There comes a point where you need to, you know, dig in your heels and use some of that command authority and dictate what will happen, and the system will work itself out. And at the end of the day, you know, if there was a separation loss in that case, everyone's still going to be alive, and it's better than putting a perfectly good airplane through a big cloud of vertical development. So that was in the climb out of an airport. So we've talked about lateral deviations, asking for deviations left or right of the weather to go around it. What about vertical deviations? So there's another interesting tool here that isn't really taught. The professional pilots are well aware of it and they do utilize it, but it's called a block altitude. So we used this the other day on our way to Alberta. So we initially filed 15,000 feet and we were all on oxygen, and the bases of the clouds kind of crept up, and the tops of the clouds of vertical development were kind of creeping up there. And I was having a hard time picking our way around it. So I said, you know, maybe we need another 1,000 feet just to get over top. Well, so I requested 17,000 feet. We went up to 17,000 feet and that wasn't quite enough. Now, I didn't necessarily want to have that airplane cruising at flight level 190, but I wanted some flexibility just to, you know, climb 500 feet or descend 500 feet to go around or go over some of the tops of this weather or some of the gaps between the weather. So the way you would do that is if we're at, you know, 17,000 feet or 17,000, yeah, you call center and say, center, it's Juliet Bravo, Bravo, request block altitude 17,000 to flight level 190. And the response to that will be Juliet Bravo, Bravo, cleared to maintain 17,000 blocking flight level 190. Now, in that case, once you've received that clearance, you've got some flexibility and you can climb and descend all you want in between 17,000 and 19,000 feet to remain clear of the weather and to keep yourself safe. A point of airmanship and courtesy is, though, once you no longer require that block, make sure that you inform ATC and say, we would like to cancel the block and maintain 17,000 or flight level 190, whatever it is, because in essence, once you are occupying a block of airspace between 17,000 and 19,000 feet, air traffic control can only use 16,000 feet and below you, and 20,000 feet and above you. So you're occupying basically 4,000 feet of airspace for your 2,000 foot block. So another great tool to use if you need it for weather, but again, just cancel it once you're done. Now, on that flight to Alberta the other day, I mean, we're in the mid altitudes, right in the middle of all this kind of crappy weather, and the flight track is actually a little bit embarrassing. If you look at it on the flight tracker after, it looks like a big spaghetti noodle that's just been lapping back on itself, back and forth. And we actually, for that almost 500 mile trip, we're pretty much never direct anything. It was in heading mode the whole time, just left, right. And we were just deviating around the cells, just trying to keep us safe. So don't feel that you ever need to go direct anything right through weather. Speak up, take charge of yourself and the safety of your flight and your passengers. And you know what, if you can't find a way through the weather, just turn around and go back to somewhere where there's clear air. These systems and lines of thunderstorms and TCUs typically develop in organized lines. Sometimes they're isolated, but they almost, you'll find valleys between them, like valleys in the cloud. So it's really important to always leave yourself an out. I'm gonna deviate left, and it looks like I might be able to get around that cell, but if that closes in on me, where am I gonna go? It's almost like mountain flying, except instead of granite, it's just some really dense cloud, really dense, moist cloud. Again, knowing types of cloud is really important too for an IFR pilot. You want to know what kind of clouds are likely to cause icing, like severe, moderate icing, even in the springtime, the really moist clouds at high altitude. And there's other types of cloud, and through experience, you can see it. You're like, you know what? That's not a very moist cloud. It's not a cloud of vertical development. I have no problem flying through that. We are IFR after all, but any cloud, we want to make sure we're de-icing equipped, and we always have an out. So anyway, that's my quick little, course, if you will, or seasonal refresher on weather flying as it pertains to, you know, the late spring, early summer and convective clouds. If you do see convective activity on the forecast, just that should really twig your spidey senses. Be on high alert. You do not want to end up in one of these clouds inadvertently. We saw it a couple years ago. There was a Mooney on a day just like this, and it was flying to their destination and entered the top third of the cloud and descended 5,000 feet in under a minute, and then was tossed back up another 3,000 feet, then back down, came out the side of it, and anyway, the airplane stayed in one piece. The pilot was very shaken, and it was so violent in that cloud. He was basically in a spiral spin, just like a dishwasher in this cloud, came out the bottom, gathered himself, and all the credit to him for keeping his wits about him. But the airplane frame was so bent that the gear wouldn't come down, and ended up having to perform a gear up landing. And even with the gear up landing, that airplane was a write off solely because of entering a convective cloud. So let that be a realistic, a real world example that is just playing in the back of your mind, and why you should use serious caution and excellent decision making, and be in defensive mode, defensive decision making, when it comes time to flying around convective clouds and clouds of vertical development. And with experience, you'll get an idea of which ones to go around to avoid by miles. But if in doubt, grab a deviation, request a block altitude, or you sometimes just have to turn around and go back, and it just isn't going to work. All right. Anyway, that's enough for our topic today. Couple of cool things coming up on Wednesday this week, so it's in 4 days. I've booked myself an introductory helicopter lesson, so it's one of the few things I'm missing on my license. I don't know if I'm gonna go do the full conversion and license, but working with clients, I find myself being, I'm pretty tough. I don't mix words. I kind of call things how they are, and I got thinking the other day, if my expectations are in line with what is realistic progression with clients and realistic performance with people of various experience levels in the airplane. And I kind of concern myself maybe that I've lost a little bit of sight and perspective. So the reason why I'm going on this intro helicopter lesson is, one, because I've always been a little bit curious, but two, I really want to go put myself in a position where I am going to suck at something. And I want to feel again what it is like to be the student, to have to drink from the fire hose, to have to learn new material, to have my confidence shot and learn a new skill at the same time. And for me, it's just as much about, going and doing the lesson as it is professional development in just being able to relate to clients and pilots as they work through challenges in their aviation journey. So I'm really excited about that. I'm looking forward to telling you all about it, and we'll talk about that in the future here. Speaking of helicopters, if you're on Instagram, go check out this profile. It's called at PadTango, PadTango. And this gentleman, he flies helicopters, all sorts of helicopters. He's a fixed-wing guy, flies a Piaggio a 180, really cool kind of combination of fixed-wing rotary. So check out his profile. It's something that's kind of always inspired me. There's always really cool content on there, whether they're flying to California and the flight levels in the Piaggio or landing on a mountaintop logging road in some sort of helicopter. But check out @PadTango. If you want to check out another great aviation podcast, check out the Flying BC podcast. And of course, Learn the Finer Points. And on YouTube, check out Flight Chops. It's a couple of my favorites. I thought you might enjoy them as well. All right, everyone, if you're looking for any information on Cardinal Aviation, check us out online, www.cardinalaviation.ca. info@cardinalaviation.ca is the email address, on Instagram @cardinalaviation, and we love hearing from you. Any feedback, any questions, anything you'd like covered on the podcast, we want to hear from you. If we can do anything for you, our aviation concierge service, helping you look after your airplane, just enhancing your aircraft ownership experience, coaching, ferry flying, consulting, whatever you need, we've got it for you, or we've got somebody that can do it for you. We've got an awesome team. Let us know how we can help you. All right, everyone, until next time, fly safely, never stop learning.